Hello, Church, and welcome to our Days of Encouragement series, where we are currently walking through the book of Acts. Today, we'll be looking more specifically at Acts chapter 19. In Acts 19, we see that the location is Ephesus, which is part of what is called Paul's third missionary journey. And throughout the chapter, we see, just like Paul is doing in his missionary journey, we see that the church is being built, the kingdom is being grown, and we find four stories that tells us a bit more about how this is being done. In the first story, we see disciples of John coming to Paul, and Paul discovers that these people are not even aware of what happened at Pentecost, and you can assume that they didn't really know much about Jesus. So Paul shares the gospel with them, and they commit their lives to Jesus. They become followers of Christ, followers of the way. They seem eager, once they hear the truth, to join this new kingdom. The second story is basically Paul goes into the synagogue, and we can read together from verse 8. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul does something here that's difficult for us as Christians to do sometimes. He turns away from the Jews in the synagogue that has become stubborn and continued in unbelief. And I mean, we have a heart to see people saved and follow Christ. So we want to keep on pushing. But sometimes we have to rely on God to lead us and to show us where we should stop our efforts, where we should rather invest our time and our efforts somewhere else. And we can learn from Paul in that regard. Paul also engages in reasoning and persuading, and we shouldn't be afraid of that. I'm so amazed, and I really think it's valuable, the school of apologetics that the church is currently running. If you can be involved in that and train yourself to give a defense for what you believe in the future, definitely do so. It's really cool. So Paul goes from the synagogue to the hall of Tyrannus, reasoning daily there for 2 years, really laboring. Obviously, they weren't as stubborn and faithless as those in the synagogue, because he carried on there laboring for 2 years. The next story, the third story, is about the sons of Sceva, where 7 sons of the high priest, they are exorcists. They exorcise evil spirits from people. Demonic spirits from people, and they seem to do this in the name of Jesus. It's a funny phrase. They say, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, obviously showing that they don't really believe in Christ or follow him. It's simply Paul's Jesus, almost in a superstitious way. They use Christ's name. And a somewhat comical event happens. They try to cast out demons, but the sort of reverse exorcism takes place. The exorcists get chased away rather than the demon, and they are hurt, injured, and naked. So they come off second best from the encounter, and this story spreads over the region and has the amazing effect of many people turning to God. They come and have a massive book burning where they renounce their ways and turn to God, the true power over evil. And verse 20 is quite important. It says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. It is God's word that brings about all this change in the kingdom. It is his truth that enables lives to change and things to change wherever it encounters willing hearts. So fourth and finally, there's a story about a riot at Ephesus. And what happens here is, obviously, as Paul is spreading this news about the kingdom, Some people are being converted from their polytheism or from their worshipping of various different gods, and they have to now only worship Jehovah, the one true God, the triune God. And that makes some people unhappy. I mean, the complaint here is very valid. Paul is sort of stealing business from the smith Demetrius, a silversmith, who is making statues of Artemis, the local god they worship. Paul is converting people, and therefore he has less business. But luckily, unfortunately, as the town clerk affirms, they're not really doing anything wrong. He says specifically in verse 40, there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion. And Luke takes great care to write down his reasoning. This can be used as a defense for Christians proclaiming the faith. And we are so blessed and fortunate that today we are also free to share our faith. We are free to share what we believe, to reason, to dialogue, to share our love for God with people. Another interesting thing is how the crowds respond versus how Paul approached the process of engaging and convincing. When someone wanted to speak in that chaotic riot, they shouted him down with shouting the phrase something like, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And whilst Paul's approach was to labor daily, go daily, reason, debate, show from the scriptures that God is Lord, there were miraculous signs and wonders. Signs like, you know, a handkerchief being passed around, and just the presence of the handkerchief would heal and cast out demons. That was touched by Paul, the handkerchief. So things like that. God was working in a mighty way. And we even see that today, where people try to silence different viewpoints and different opinions or differing opinions. And our job as Christians is to still labor forth, respond in a way that is loving and kind, but with reason and dialogue. And so we see this chain running through these four stories about what is said in verse 20, how God's word is able to prevail. God's word will accomplish what it sets out to do. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts and divides. And I suppose this is our encouragement for today, that when we share God's word, when we share the truth, it's very powerful. Someone believing it and obeying it, it has the power to change their life completely. So when we share it, whether people respond like the disciples of John the Baptist did, eagerly accepting it, or whether they respond like those in the synagogue did, becoming hard-hearted, turning their backs, even speaking bad of you, whatever the response, it is a good thing that we are sharing. It glorifies God. The response, it isn't up to us. Some sow, some water, others harvest the fruit. But the fact that we are sharing brings glory to God. It's putting the truth out there. It's maybe putting a rock in someone's shoe. So I want to encourage us to keep on doing that. And I want to encourage us, even though we don't see always the effects of it, it is fruitful. God's word is able to prevail mightily. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that wherever it is spoken, the kingdom is growing. The kingdom is being enhanced and it's expanding. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a renewed passion to share your word, to share your truth with those around us, that your kingdom may come, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.